I don't have any disclosures. And before we begin, I'd like to acknowledge my Samuels and Associates and Olmsted County collaborators in this work. So I'm going to be talking about the Minnesota Statewide Health Improvement Program today. They offer two-year grants to local health departments across the state of Minnesota to pursue comprehensive obesity and tobacco prevention strategies that focused on policy, systems, and environmental change. So Olmsted County, where the Mayo Clinic is located, chose 8 obesity-related interventions as part of their SHIP program, and we at Samuels & Associates evaluated the outcomes of this effort. So today I'm going to focus my comments on the school nutrition aspect of SHIP, but I should note that there's 2 other talks here at APHA on the healthcare and childcare interventions if you're interested in learning more. So the school food and beverage environment, as we all know in this room, is a crucial area to address in improving opportunities for healthy eating and promoting lifelong healthy habits. Olmsted County SHIP worked in all of its school districts to improve foods and beverages available to children throughout the school day through farm-to-school programs by providing healthier foods and beverages in vending machines and a la carte lines. This intervention also included trainings for cafeteria staff so they could offer more whole foods that were freshly prepared, growing foods on school grounds, and strengthening school wellness policies. So multiple methods were used to evaluate various aspects of the school food and beverage environment. Key informant interviews qualitatively examined opinions and perspectives of those involved in school nutrition, and observational environmental assessments were used to document the foods and beverages sold in schools and then analyze their nutrient content. These assessments were first conducted in 2010 as SHIP's work got underway, and again in 2011, 1 year into the SHIP program. The competitive foods portion of the evaluation focused on secondary schools, since competitive foods tend to be much more of an issue in middle and high schools, and very few or no competitive foods or beverages at all were found in the elementary schools we assessed. So as Caitlin just mentioned with the IOM standards, were what we used to analyze the nutrient quality of the competitive foods and beverages that were observed. As we just heard, they really are the gold standard in the field, as they are evidence-based, more stringent often than most other standards that were found in the rest of the country, and specifically designed to reduce and prevent childhood obesity. And they were developed recently by a national committee of experts, including many school nutrition professionals. Olmsted County was one of the first in the country to implement these standards, and they may become the new federal standards for schools throughout the country. So now looking to the data, we in competitive foods found in middle schools, we found no change in adherence to standards between baseline and follow-up, with only 18% of items that we saw adhering to standards. So the numbers here at baseline, we found 100 competitive beverages across all schools that we assessed, and at follow-up 140. Those reflect unique items. So if we saw multiple Snapples of different layers, we only counted it once per school, and we only analyzed student accessible items. So we didn't include in our analyses any items that were only found in staff lounges, for example. So in high schools, we found an increase in competitive beverage adherence to IOM standards, going from 9% at baseline to 13% at follow-up. And while these numbers, are still small, something we really emphasized with the health department folks that we were working with, and as well as the school staff, that if we do think about, incremental improvements and moving in the right direction, that is, about a 50% increase. Now looking at foods, at baseline we found that 3% of items were adherent, but at follow-up adherence jumped to 14%. So again, small, modest, but a marked increase in terms of just overall percentage points. In high schools, we found a rise in adherence that was very slight, from 8 to 10%. In terms of adherence to IOM standards. We also assessed school lunches and found an increase in the number of fruits and vegetables that were offered when we looked at some other kind of common items that were found in schools in terms of fast food, sandwiches, kind of sort of your range of entree options. Not much change. We were also interested in looking at change in whole grains that were offered as a focus of this intervention. It was really trying to switch from white bread, you know, white pastas to more whole grains, but not much of a change there either. So now really, you know, thinking about what were the successes, you know, as we saw, you know, changing adherence to IOM standards is a challenge, and it's something we're really interested in talking more about during the Q&A here, if we've got some time for discussion. From the interviews, though, we learned that many improvements were made with the satisfaction of knowing that healthier options in school are really a better food and beverage environment will result in healthier behaviors, such as more fruits and vegetables and less packaged foods being consumed by students while they're at school. We saw that trainings really helped build the staff capacity and helped also help the cafeteria staff build relationships in their communities with parents, with students, with local farmers, and make healthy foods more fun and in an educational and appealing way. The farm-to-school program was really a very key highlight of this work, where they were able to really kind of bring the farming community to schools, and then also bring students to farms, and then kind of bridge that work with the development of school gardens and school orchards. And what's nice to know with this is that the farm-to-school program focused on bringing in fresh produce, but they were also working to bring in local dairy and local meat and local grains as well into the school. So they really kind of broadly embraced this strategy. There were healthy snack carts that were located throughout the schools where they offered samples of new healthy products and did a lot of kind of categorical replacements of items to make the switch to healthier items. Where it wasn't possible to decrease sweetened drinks, we found that at least one strategy that they used that was a step in the right direction was at least reducing the size of those drinks. Vegetarian options were introduced as a way to get more fruits and vegetables specifically into meals and entrees. And saw that as definitely a way to kind of introduce a new set of entrees that might not have previously been there. Menu labeling was a strategy that was well received as menus were posted throughout the lines. And then moving lunch to before recess helped more students, gave students a little bit more time to be able to eat and was seen also as a great way to promote physical activity. And all of this work was very positively received by not only staff, but students, parents, and the larger community. So, of course, this work comes with many challenges. As we saw, you know, the IOM standards, you know, are incredibly stringent and are difficult to implement for many schools, including the ones that we observed here. Serving fresh whole foods often comes with a high price tag, which forces schools to make tough choices. And it's hard, as we know, to find healthy foods when you're on a budget. And meanwhile, kids are inundated with unhealthy options throughout their schools, as we know, because many vendors often don't offer a lot of healthy choices that are going to be appealing to kids. And there is marketing throughout these schools that is promoting unhealthy options. We also saw that while there were changes in the competitive foods that were offered in cafeterias or in snack bars throughout schools, the celebration, the birthday cupcakes, the parties, you know, other types of rewards were still high in sugar and fat and calories. So that remains also to be another area that needs to be targeted by future school policies, which have often focused on the competitive food environment or cafeteria specifically, but we really need to think about the entire school day and what's being also offered in classrooms. And then finally, we found that it was a challenge, and we heard from a lot of schools, to monitor adherence to these standards, as we just saw from Caitlin's talk, that these standards are incredibly complicated, even for nutrition professionals to sometimes go through. And schools, you know, are understaffed right now. They might not have the kind of training that would be necessary to really determine adherence and conduct their own evaluations. They may not have the resources to bring in outside evaluators, so it's something we should also really think about, is how can we make these standards digestible enough that nutrition service staff can really take them on their own. So going forward, you know, as we all know, change takes time, and this work has only just begun, not just in Olmsted County, but around the country. You know, and our recommendations were that schools leverage the changes that have already been made for maximum potential to offer healthy options throughout the school day. We really see this, too, as a key educational opportunity for kids, not just only to improve their nutrition behavior, but also give them the opportunity to learn about gardening, to learn about produce, how food is produced and how it's grown, not just for kids in school, but also for their entire families, getting their siblings and their parents and the larger community engaged as well. A lot of the focus often is on school lunch, and while that's an important time, a lot of kids are eating breakfast at school as well, or if they're not, it would be a great opportunity to improve their nutrition, to kind of encourage participation in school breakfast programs. So that's also, you know, a really important point of intervention that should be noted. You know, as challenging as it can be to try to encourage kids around parties or around school fundraisers for sports or other extracurriculars to use that as an opportunity to eat healthy, that's also a critical point of intervention. School wellness policies are really needed to ensure the sustainability of these efforts long term, and that's a really key aspect of Olmsted County's work going forward. And then finally, you know, not just putting the food in may not be enough. There also needs to be efforts in place to promote consumption of these new foods that were offered. And now with all this, you know, great new locally grown food in schools, really encouraging more scratch cooking rather than introducing processed pre-prepared foods that are simply heated up at schools. So we're really interested in hearing your thoughts. Wanted to leave, you know, some lots of time for discussion today to think about how, you know, we as a community, you know, as a nation, can really further advance this work that's going on to improve food environments at schools, especially in regards to the IOM standards that we're going to be talking a lot about at this meeting. Strong standards that emphasize whole foods over processed items are really the only way that we'll ultimately win the fight against childhood obesity. And we as a field need to hold industry accountable and not back down because of the challenges of implementation. You know, schools can't do this on our own. So we as researchers, as advocates, really need to stay united on that front. We, you know, push, you know, the schools that we work with to really think about how they can take a comprehensive approach, thinking about, you know, integrating various aspects of their programming, whether it be farm to school, the competitive food environment, and then finally recognizing that as important as it is to introduce healthy options, you may not ultimately change the behavior on the part of students without also removing unhealthy items. And we encourage you to visit our website for more information about all of this work and our complete report. Thank you.